Are you enjoying the Olympics? You're watching some of that on TV? How I admire that. You know, there are those guys like Usain Bolt, who are just made for speed, and gets up there and runs and outruns everybody else just because he's a fascinating athlete, you know. And whereas I admire his ability to do that, the ones that really fascinate me are the ones that are doing like the gymnastics and things like that, who have trained and trained and trained for years in order to do what they're doing. They have all the athletic ability of a man like Bolt, but have had to make huge sacrifices and disciplines in order to excel in their field. And I think they're the best illustration of the heart of an Olympian. Somebody who has really given themselves to this kind of achievement. And I've done some reading and things about those folks, and am amazed to see that some of these, you know, gymnastic girls, by the time they're 5 or 6 years old, they have decided that they want to excel in gymnastics. When I was 5 or 6 years old, the only thing I wanted to excel in was being ornery. And I did pretty well at that. And the whole process of being able to think through that and then to maintain that discipline and to achieve the things they have achieved. I'd like to suggest to you that in our own way, as the followers of Jesus Christ, we need to have the heart of that kind of an Olympian. That we set our heart upon a goal. And if I may borrow from Dan's song this morning, that we would walk in the image of God, that our lives would reflect His glory. So that's the positive side of what I want to talk with you about today, both this morning and this evening. But this morning we're taking a more negative view of this. What happens to God's people when they don't have the heart of an Olympian? When they have a divided allegiance? When God is not literally foremost in their mind? I believe the Old Testament scriptures teach us that that is a very, very dangerous place to be, to have a divided heart. We've been looking at some of the lessons from the kings, and today we look at the lesson from King Amaziah and see that he is a man of an imperfect heart, and we will see the dangers and the consequences of that imperfect heart. And let's look to the Lord in prayer before we look to His Word. Our Father, as we open Your Word together today, Lord, I pray that You would take from the text of Your Word to speak to the hearts of Your people. Whatever the particular and varied needs would be, some, Father, maybe just need some good instruction in this area. Some need to be corrected and brought away from unbeneficial things in their lives. Others, Father, may just need to be encouraged and exhorted to continue in the path of a perfect heart. Whatever the need, Lord, we pray that You would be pleased today to meet those things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take with me your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, Chapter 25. If I look at my notes as I say that, I'll probably say the right chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. And here we have the account of the life of Amaziah. And I want to look. I want you to look with me at verse 2. It says here, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. What an interesting observation. This is likely an observation that many could make of Amaziah, having studied the biography of his life. But I think it is more important for us to recognize that the story of his life was a result of his imperfect heart. He didn't have a heart for God as he could have had. Now, we have a little different account of this in the book of 2 Kings, where we have the history of his life. And I'd like to take you back to that, 2 Kings chapter 14. And things are stated just a little bit differently. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 3. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet, not like David his father. He did according to all things as Joash his father did. Now, there's some interesting things there that we should see as fathers. Amaziah followed the model or example of his father. And it led him to a very unhappy end. So let me say to you fathers today, what kind of pattern are you leaving for your children? That may be all you need to hear today. And the same goes for you mothers. What kind of pattern are you leaving for your children? We need to give the coming or following generation the example of a perfect heart before God. And you say, Pastor Dave, I can't be perfect. Please understand that this word perfect is not talking about that kind of perfection. And we'll see more of that tonight as we look at Psalm 143, the development of a perfect heart. But today we're looking at the consequences of an imperfect heart. By imperfect, the word means immature, untrained, undisciplined. Another way that we might express that would be half-hearted. And, oh, I fear that there is so much half-hearted allegiance to our Savior today. And we have God's counsel regarding an imperfect heart. A few things I want to share with you as we enter into this text. Please begin by understanding with me the danger of an imperfect heart. If you come with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, here the psalm, or Solomon speaks to his son about the dangers of an imperfect heart. We'll begin at verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. There's something going on in the extended Pestle household right now that causes a little concern in the heart of Granddad. We have two grandsons who are excelling in Civil Air Patrol, and I'm really happy for their successes. This week, Caleb phoned me to say, I have been advanced or whatever, promoted to Chief Master Sergeant in Civil Air Patrol. And he's going to have all kinds of benefits from that. In the coming year, he's going to be able to begin his pilot's training at a real reduced price. And he's going to get access to this. And I'm happy for Caleb. But boy, before I leave those conversations with him, I say, now Caleb, I'm happy for your success, and this is good. But Caleb, don't forget, God always comes first. I got an email this morning from my grandson, Joe. He's just about to be promoted in Civil Air Patrol. And he's so excited. And I wrote a little note back to him. I said, Joe, I'm happy for you. Congratulations. But Joe, always keep God first. You know, my grandkids can become airline pilots, engineers, whatever they want to be. But if they don't walk with God, they can ruin their lives in a hurry. The way of an imperfect heart. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not the way of evil men. And this is a challenge for us because we live in a world of evil men and wicked ways. And the challenge for us is to walk in those ways, in that world, in the image of God, Dan. Just like you encouraged us this morning. Regarding this world, in verse 14, it says, avoid it, pass by it, turn from it, and pass away. Just this week, I saw something that just absolutely broke my heart. I'm going to have to be very unspecific with you about it. But I viewed a man that I know well who had made commitments to walk faithfully with the Lord, who was just slowly strayed away from that and is up to his neck in the world. And I'm praying for him. I don't want him to experience the consequences of a bunch of stupid decisions. I love him. This is a danger. Verse 16, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause someone to fall. That's the wickedness of the world. I'm not going to say that a believer gets caught up in all of that, but he can get caught up in some of it and understands what a wicked world we live in and how careful we need to be. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. It is so easy for us to take on the values of the world. I mean, here we are at work and we hear them talking about all the things they love and all the things they cherish and all the things that are neat. And all of a sudden we begin to think, those are the things we ought to love and we ought to cherish and those are the things that are neat and those are the things that we ought to do. And we'll gain their respect and admiration if we do those things. Phooey! We're called to be different. And that difference is a wonderful protection against the consequences of this evil world. So, and by contrast, we have verse 18, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What a privilege it is to walk through this wicked world as the lamp of God. And people can see the image of Christ in us and be warned of their own foolishness. By contrast, the way of the wicked is darkness. Get this. They know not at what they stumble. You know, they're doing things that are ruining their lives and they don't even know it. May I say to you, there's a proverb that comes to my mind so often because I see it so often. It says this, a wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish woman teareth it down with her own hands. I know women today whose children have moved out of town because they can't stand to be around her. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now get this, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. for out of it are the issues of life. What am I saying? I'm saying, Caleb, you go ahead and love CAP a little bit, but never let that become your top priority. You Olympians, love gymnastics a little bit, but never let it become your priority in life. Always have God as number one. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Understand the danger of an imperfect heart. Secondly, discern the difference between intellect and will and love and the heart. It is so easy for us to have an intellectual and willful relationship with God rather than a heart relationship with God. We have a relationship with Him that's understood by the things of the Bible and directed by our wills. And we conform to our will and our reason and our logic. Understand with me, that's not the kind of relationship God wants with you. Not a hard, cold relationship that's demonstrated by understanding and the exercise of the will. He wants a relationship with you that is directed by your heart, where you love Him. The Lord Jesus Christ is quoted in the book of Luke, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." God wants your heart, not your mind and your will. He wants your heart. And just let me give you a little illustration of that. In Proverbs chapter 3, a portion of scripture that my Sunday school teacher gave to me when I was in high school, memorized it way back then. And you know, I learned a long time ago that if I understand what the subject is, it's easier to memorize it than you just memorize the words it said in. Maybe my mom taught me that, I don't know. But it caused me to look further into these verses of Scripture than just the words and their order. I had to understand them. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says this, "My son, forget not my law." But get this, "but let thine heart keep my commandments." David knew he was in trouble when he memorized that verse. That's this David. Because it wasn't just a matter of keeping his commandments, it was a matter of loving and honoring his commandments. And the distance is great. I fear that we have a large section of God's children today who know it and who do it, but they don't love it. And by their reason and their logic, they know, I've got to give this much to God, but the rest I can keep for myself. And they live this life of balance, you know, between my way and God's way. I need to balance those things. Phooey! No balance. It's all on God's side. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Period. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat therefore, or whether you drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Discern the difference between intellect and will and love in the heart. I want you to see with me the evidences of Amaziah's imperfect heart. Come with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. We're going to read verses 3 through 10. "Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king, his father. But he slew not their children, but did as is written in the law, in the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sins. Good for Amaziah. His first official act as king was to bring to judgment those who had murdered his father. And he did it just the way the Old Testament law told him to do it. Good for Amaziah. Now verse 5. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. So he found out he had a pretty good army, but he made an observation that it's probably not good enough. It's probably not big enough. So he went out and hired some mercenaries. Verse 6. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee. For the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. The first observation I want to make about Amaziah is he had an eye for justice, but he was blind to righteousness. He wasn't supposed to compromise with this idolatrous northern kingdom. There is that splitness within these people who do not have a heart for God. They function on the basis of their analysis and their reason and their logic, and don't consult God. I think that is so typical in Christianity today, that some things we just do very, very good, and that's good. But some things are left undone. The scriptures say, these things you ought to have done, and not left these undone. God wants a heart of full devotion given to him. There's much more to learn from this particular portion of scripture, but we're going to leave it now. And come with me to verse 11. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the valley of Salt and smote the children of Seir 10,000. These are the Edomites, the enemies of Israel. He went out and he slew them. And as a man of God and as a king protecting the nation of Israel, the reduction of the enemies was a godly thing to do and something he should do as king. However, notice with me verse 14. Now it came to pass that after Amaziah was come from the slaughter of Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burned incense to them. Here we have a king who had courage for battle, but he was blind to the issue of faithfulness. Christianity is so characterized today by ambition for the things of God, but an obvious lack of faithfulness to him. I think ambition is one of the worst enemies in Christianity today. We get so ambitious to get things done for God that we borrow the gods of this world to do it. How crazy is that? We go to Madison Avenue to figure out how to advertise the work of the church. Now, it works if you're selling blue jeans or t-shirts.
And we've got these characters in our churches today who says if it works in the world, it'll work in the church. But God hasn't chosen to advertise himself on Madison Avenue. He's chosen to advertise himself in the lives of his people when we walk in the image of God. That's God's advertising program. Righteousness and faithfulness and holiness in the lives of his people. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We get all excited, you know, when some tight end or runner or quarterback all of a sudden has a testimony of faith in Christ and we say, wow, this is it. Now the church is going to thrive. We are stupid. Most of these guys, unfortunately, disappoint us. Every time I hear one of those things, I pray for those guys. I say, oh, Lord, pray that he'll be faithful. Pray that he'll love you. I pray for their success. Notice the consequences of Amaziah's divided heart. Join me in verse 15. Chapter 25. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah. And he sent unto him a prophet. And Amaziah's going to say, what are you mad about? I killed the men who were murdered by dad. And I went down and I took care of Edom, all of that. What's God want? Get it? Everything. He wants everything. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? And it came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, art thou made the king's counsel? Have I asked for your advice, fella? Shut up. That's what the word forbear means. Why should thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. You see, he could have hearkened unto the prophet's counsel. And listen today, you that are half-hearted. You don't have to stay that way. You can hearken to the rebuke of God's word. And you can get on your knees and say, Lord, I've been a half-hearted, wayward follower of you, and I'm sorry, and I ask your forgiveness. And he'll forgive you. Or you can go on and face the consequences. Amaziah's consequences were, number one, the northern kingdom, Joash, the king, invaded the land and took all of their wealth. And then at the end, Amaziah met the same fate as his father's. His counselors rose up and killed him. So, what's the lesson of 2 Chronicles chapter 25? God wants a perfect heart from his people. He wants a heart that loves him exclusively. Let me just give you six verses of scripture. I already started with this, but I'm going to give it to you. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Oh, that's pretty nice. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And don't rest or lean on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Solomon said, my son,
give me thine heart. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Don't compromise the way of God in your life. Be careful of the things your heart goes after. You know what? Some of us are kind of enamored with this candidate for the presidency who says, America first. It might work in politics, but it won't work in your life. Folks, it's God first, America second at best. God first. And boy, if America could ever get to the place where they said God first, what a place it would be. But let me suggest some other things to you that I believe that Christians often stumble over. It's God first, not your children first. If God is first, you'll raise your children well. But if you put your children first, you're going to be confused and all muddled up in your parenting. It's God first, not family first. It's God first, not your career or your work first. It's God first, not your hobbies first. Amaziah was ruined by his own fleshly reason and logic as he tried to live out a life before God that was measured by his head and his will rather than by his heart. And so I leave you with this challenge today. Do you love God? Do you love Him? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we've had to look at your word this morning and to understand the threat of a heart that is not given to God. We understand that your prophet has said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Lord, may we understand the dangers of our heart, and may we learn to be keepers of the heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.